enlightened. Welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, who's having a little trouble with speaking today. It's probably going to get worse, too. And my special guest tonight is Brian Flournoy of MakingItAllClick.com, and he was on last month. And I thought it would be fun to have him back on to do some intuitive readings on people and animals. And so welcome to the show, Brian.
Oh, thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah, this is going to be so much fun. And if anybody's
right.
awake and listening, I'm sure they'll be calling in and dialing frantically.
Good. Bring it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, how much better can it get than free reading, you know, especially when somebody's really good?
Yeah, that's a good deal. Even
yeah.
I covet a good reading from time to time.
Oh, absolutely. And I have to tell you, what you told me about my past really helped. So thank you so much.
Really?
And
oh, good.
Yeah, it was really interesting because when I got home, you know, I started speaking with them, you know, long distance and told them how much I loved them. And every time I thought of them and how much I missed them, I just immediately kind of stopped myself and went, oh, I really love you guys. And I'm so anxious to get home and hug you and everything. And when I got home, this is the first time that they didn't turn their little kitty backs on me and snob me out, you know?
Right.
It was great. They came running up. Yeah, it was fantastic. They're running up and hugging me and licking me and all kinds of stuff. I was like, wow, that Brian is good.
That's very typical when you get to the root of an issue. Behavior
yeah.
modifications can be really profound.
Yeah, it really was quite interesting because I've had cats all my life, and every single time I told them when I was going to leave and everything else, and when I came back, it was like, oh, who are you? Oh, I kind of vaguely remember you. You know, and I'd be like, oh, you know, I'm the one who feeds you. I'm the one that pays the bills. And these guys, they got so mad at me, you know, when I was leaving, and I was like, oh, man. And so when I got back and everything was different, I was like, wow, that was really cool. I've been telling them now we're leaving in a couple of days for our East Coast tour. And so I've been telling them for the last week, you know, Mom's got to go away for like a long time in kitty time. And, you know, I'll be working out in the universe doing God's work. And then I'll come back and I'll be back and everything's going to be fine. And, of course, you know, they knew I was worried about it because I had a couple people lined up today, and they fell through, and I was like, oh, my God, what is going on with that? And
wow.
then finally, at the last minute, a friend called up and said, oh, you know, I'm moving out of the house I'm in, and I'm waiting to buy this other house, and I need a place to be for 3 months. I said, perfect. The other good part is that she talks to cats and dogs, and she said that she was telling me about, and I'm sure you got plenty of stories like this too, that a cat was telling her a story when she was house-sitting one time, and she said, okay, this is really weird, the cat's telling me this weird story, and she went and talked to called up the lady whose house it was, and the lady said, oh my gosh, that's the cat what the guy looks like, you know, it turns out it was her ex-husband sneaking into her house.
Ooh.
Interesting. Yeah. So I bet you have a few stories like that too. You were talking last time about how the dog was all sad because he thought he caused his owner so much sadness. But have you had anything happen like that where the animals told you somebody's sneaking in and stealing things or snooping or anything like that?
Not related to criminal activity, I'm being reminded, you know, by the animal at distance and my guide. What had happened was I was at a pet supply store and mother, daughter, and dog came up, and the dog started complaining to me about it was me, the mom, and the dog, and the daughter strayed away, maybe 22 years old, looking around the store.
Mm-hmm.
And the dog started telling me about the woman's daughter's boyfriend and some of his habits, his mindset, and how unkind he was treating the animals, and how how unkind he was treating her daughter. And so the daughter walked back up in the interim, and I had to ask her to, could she leave and go away again, because the dog is telling me something regarding her, and the dog doesn't want to hurt her feelings. So, yeah, it was, and so I ended up having to relay some information to the mom, and then when the daughter came back, I was in a position to convey the animal sentiment. And the advantage in that situation was the dog actually had a perspective that this daughter could relate to, and she felt that if the dog was concerned, that she could no longer be in denial about the relationship and that it was very healthy for her.
Wow. That's, you know, that kind of information is the kind of information we all need. And,
right.
You know, sometimes, you know, we take our animals so much for granted. And mine have always been sentient. You know, I've always had the craziest cats and horses and everything else, you know, and they've been totally sentient to the point where it freaks people out when they've come over, you know. And I look at them and I go, well, of course they're sentient. You know, they may have little brains the size of walnuts, but, you know, they're still alive and they still know what's going on. And they can communicate with you telepathically. I used to call my cats in by thinking of them, thinking of food. And I had this one cat that was a real chow hound. And I could go out there and holler till I was blue in the face. That cat would never come. But if I went out there and I first thought about, oh, I'm going to put some food in his dish, oh, he's going to love this, and then I'd go out there and I'd holler his name, and he'd be showing up like almost before I finished hollering his name. It was great.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, a lot of times people, you know, feel that animals are not as sophisticated or in consciousness or as evolved regarding the way they process information and consciousness. But what makes an animal from a human perspective seem less evolved are the issues animals are concerned with relative to humans. So because animals are more concerned with being in harmony with the earth, being in alignment with their instinct to some degree, and being really subservient and desiring to be a healing, loving source for their human companion, their behavior can come across as oversimplified or very unsophisticated because they're devoted to some very core issues. But that behavior and that level of attention does not reflect at all on how refined their opinions are, their level of consciousness is, or their ability to discern information, scenarios, situations, and they are also psychic.
Well, yeah.
But their psychic behavior isn't necessarily interested in the future or in the past, like we humans utilize psychic information. They use their psychic instinct mainly in the moment of now.
And we could all learn from that, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And so now, if you would, explain to the listeners, how would somebody go about having better communication with their animals? You know, most of us are psychic to some degree. And so, you know, it would be helpful, I think, if you could kind of teach people a little bit, you know, how do you do this stuff?
Right. First of all, I'd like to say that being psychic is just a word. We're all psychic. To me, psychic means acknowledging the fact that we're all connected and that honoring the paradigm that thoughts travel and time and distance is no barrier. And that's what psychic means, is understanding it and accepting it as a fact and operating in that paradigm with the expectation that what you think is being perceived by someone else.
Mm-hmm.
That's the rule number one. And rule number two would be to pretend like you are the animal. I remember the pet psychic would say, sometimes I get down on all fours, and that is good sometimes, and sometimes it's not necessary. But it's a good exercise to pretend you are the dog or the animal, looking specifically from their point of view. And once you do that, you're telling your subconscious mind to tune in from their perspective. Oftentimes, animals are communicating all the time, viscerally. It's not always the kind of information that requires specific attention, but it's more like constant biofeedback type of visceral exchange of information, like you're okay, I'm still okay, you're still okay, and no one's at the door, no one's trying to break in, that kind of deal. And then, so you need to be open to that kind of communication and don't disregard it as unimportant. And then the way to solicit objective information is to literally ask a question that would be of meaning to the animal. So my events are starting to kick up at the Humane Society. One of my favorite questions to engage conversation with an animal is, tell me what you like and what you don't like and what you want more of.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a result, I'll say, if you tell me something, I'll relay it, and let's see if we can get you more of what you want and cut back on some kind of activity going on in your environment that you feel the human could, you know, reduce and make things better. And then the information flows.
Interesting.
Because human beings, I guess human beings have a tendency also from their perspective to screen out telepathic information. We call it a conscious filter. It's, you know, like the robot in Lost in Space that does not compute. And so if you're not open enough, the impressions you receive might be so foreign that you'll mistake the foreign nature of the thought for being too subtle to understand and as meaningful information.
Hmm. So I'm wondering, how can people get used to doing this? Everybody's so busy. It's like trying to do one more thing is too much for a lot of people. But how could people start practicing this in a practical way that would really help them to leap forward in this ability?
Okay. When you do come home or you do have a set time to interact with your animal, just play this little game. You tell your animal, let's play telepathy. And you say, I'm going to think a thought and send it to you. And then you think a thought and send it back to me. And although you're not in a scientifically controlled environment such that you can validate that the impressions you're receiving are actually coming from the animal, you have to more or less go by faith.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way to practice the exercise. And then also, here's a way for people to understand how and why it's already happening, and so you can be, by default, inherently more attuned to it. Have you ever had an animal and you're walking around carrying on doing your business, and then all of a sudden you go, oh, I got to put more water in the bowl?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you might think that's your thought, but it's not. That's what it feels like. It feels like it's your thought, and as far as the animal's concerned, that's as good as it gets. Just as long as I get water. If she thinks she thought it up and remembered on her own, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how it happens. A thought just drops into your head, and oftentimes it feels like your own thought. Get familiar with that. Remember those instances, and be attuned to receiving information like that.
Yeah, my cats did that to me today. It was raining here, and, you know, our usual little routine is I get up in the morning and I move the furniture around out in the outdoor room there so they can sleep in the sun, you know, and I give them their little treats in the morning, and I leave them there for a couple hours and do my computer stuff and whatever other business I have to do, and then in the evening when I put them to bed out there, I give them another treat. So today was all gloomy and raining and everything, and I got up late, and I was, you know, getting ready to pack for this trip and everything, and all of a sudden, my little male Siamese comes up to me, and he just looked at me, and he gave me one of those pregnant looks, you know, like, do you get it?
You know? Right, exactly.
And I'm looking at him, and I went, oh, I forgot all about your treat. So I gave them their treats and was like, okay, you know, then they stayed out there for a while, even though it wasn't sunny. But I mean, I'm sure that that thought didn't come from me.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It did not. And that's another great way for people to get accustomed to the fact that telepathy happens all the time. Through the routines that we establish, and animals are creatures of habit, and that's not a bad attribute to have at all. If you're accustomed to your routine and you know what follows, and if you forget and your animal reminds you, that's another way to validate the impression. But you'll have to remember that you have to give the process the benefit of the doubt. Understand it didn't come from you.
Yeah, maybe if you make an agreement with the animal that, you know, when I get it, wag your tail or something. Or, like, blink at me with your right eye or something like that. Because they know they understand us.
Right. Well, you know, once I was interacting with a dog and an owner, and after all the valid information was relayed, he wanted yet another obvious sign that this was really happening. And he said, tell the dog to roll over as a sign. And so the dog got a little insulted and disgusted, and so did I, because his attitude was, look, didn't we prove enough here? And before I knew it, he had slumped to the ground and did like a halfway rollover and said, there, that's as good as it gets.
I think we have a caller on the line, too. Do we have a caller on? Who's calling? Hello? I can't hear who it is. Seth, if you're listening, I'm not getting who that is. It's too broken up. I wonder, caller, if you're on a voice-over internet phone, it's not going to come through. You'll have to call back on a cell phone or a regular phone. Darn. It's hard when they call in on those voice-over internet protocol lines. It just doesn't work on this. Please do call that caller on a line that we can hear.
Right.
And, that thing that, you know, that proof, first of all, if I was the dog, I'd be going, roll over. How about a paw?
Yeah, and it's ironic. Yeah, it's ironic because this same dog was destroying furniture for like maybe 6 or 7 days in a row. And and the mother of the house got a hold of me to ask the dog to stop. But I knew what that meant was to get to the root of the problem. And what had happened was her son had went off to college and kind of snuck out. And did not, you know, pay proper respects to the dog, thinking he was keeping the dog from being traumatized by the separation. But the dog got traumatized because he was gone, and there was no word that he left. And I told the dog to stop, please. And the next day, the dog stopped eating furniture. And then subsequently, the son came home to visit, and maybe a couple of months later, and in conversation, he knew who I was based on the story relayed by his mom. So I came back over to meet him, and the dog relayed and said, hey, you know, why did your dog tell me that he was expecting to be a mascot? And he said that was something I was considering taking him to school with me. I'm in a fraternity, and I thought he would be a nice house dog, but I was concerned because he's got a terrier mix. You know, that's associated with the pit bull. And so he was concerned about if his behavior could be harmful to others. And we got that straightened away. And he, the next time he went off to college, the dog went with him.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah.
I know. I've had things with my cats were, you know, when I first got them, my female cat hated my male cat. Oh, my gosh. I've never seen a cat that indignantly, that loud before. And he just loved her from the very first instant he laid eyes on her. And so there was all this hollering and screaming for a long time. Well, she was so vindictive. She taught him how to chew cords. And when she got him chewing cords, she stopped doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched this happen, and I said, ooh, you are a nasty little evil Siamese kitty. And, boy, I'll tell you what, I beat his butt one night. I was so mad when he went through $2,000 worth of electrical cords, including my Mac cord for my computer. And I had to buy two expensive air cleaners because he chewed through the cords, and I was like, ugh, kill this cat.
Yeah, that's funny because only once before I interacted with an animal, it was a dog, the Boston Terrier, and one day he was relaying to me that how the fascination he had with his owner's computer system, and it was so his attraction to it was so profound that I was compelled to tell the guy, listen, why don't you keep the door closed to the room where you have your computer, because it's giving off an electrical charge, and it's drawing your dog in, and he's trying to get to the root of the electrical magnetic activity that's going on, and I think he may try to discover it by chewing through the cords.
Mm.
And so, yeah, you know, some animals can have a fixation for cords they're sensitive.
I don't think it was that at all. I think what it was is she taught him to chew cords and told him it was a good thing to do.
What I'm saying is he discovered that he liked it.
Oh, I see what you're saying now.
It was like saying, hey, you want to get a funny sensation or see something cool? Try this out.
Oh, no, cats on drugs.
There are some cats that are addicted to lead and paint.
I've
come across that too, and helping a cat through telepathy break the habit of licking the walls.
Oh, man.
And, you know, and consuming, you know, newspaper.
Yeah. Well, at least
right.
My cat only licks me. So he'll eat fur balls. If he finds a fur ball on the floor, he thinks it's his duty to get rid of it, so he eats it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but he was starving when I got him. Somebody brought him to me, and it was one of my patients, and he said, please take this little guy. He's so sweet. And he said he's a stray, and he runs with these three ruffians. And he said, I put food out for them, but he's so polite, he just sits back and waits, and they eat it all and leave, and then he's sitting there with nothing. And he said, he's just so polite, and he said, I'm going away for a week. He said, I'm afraid he's going to die. He's going to starve to death. So I was like, oh, geez, you know, my favorite cat in the whole world just died 2 days before, and I was going, I don't want any more cats, you know, because I gotta have some freedom to travel around, and it's like having kids, you know. And so 2 days later, I had this cat. And the guy's bringing him down the driveway. He took one look at me. I took one look at him. I knew he was the reincarnation of my cat who just died a year before. And he recognized me, and he responded to me in exactly the same voice that that cat did, and that was the only time that he did. And then he changed, and he became who he is in this life.
Mm.
Just an amazing little guy. You know?
Right.
And so, since we don't have a caller on, would you kind of tune in with my cats now and tell me how they're doing? This? I know they know I'm leaving. But do they know I'm not?
Okay, hold on 1 second. Okay, they're saying something to me about, I don't know if they've ever been around anyone who, you know, has or like cinnamon sticks or anything like that.
Hmm.
Do you know anyone that would be around them occasionally?
With cinnamon sticks.
Yeah.
Well, my roommate and I both drink cinnamon tea. We don't do it all
the
time.
Okay, that's what I saw it in the tea. I saw cinnamon in the tea.
Huh?
Okay. Okay, hold on. What are they saying? Okay, because literally I saw this cinnamon stick sitting, and it, maybe that's their way of saying that it's cinnamon in the tea.
Well,
they
like that. I had people come and take care of them while I was gone for 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
One lady that fed them every day, so she came every day just to feed and water them and clean the kitty box.
Uh-huh.
I had one friend that I gave the key to, and she came in and used the internet and played with them and stuff. And another friend, he would come by like once a week, sit down and play with them. And so I had all these little, I had people coming in to play games with my cats while I was gone.
Right.
So it could have been one of them,
too. They're saying that, now regarding that tea, that you, what kind of tea is it? Is it just regular, maybe herbal or tea, or what is it?
It's that, oh gosh, it's a good earth tea.
Okay. Okay, I just have to explain to them why they can't have any of that.
Ah.
How often do you have that cinnamon tea?
I wasn't drinking any of it until I came back this time. And so I pretty much have it probably every night or every other night.
Right.
In the day.
They were just trying, they're kind of interested in that. They're being a little frivolous.
Ah.
In their interest in this cinnamon tea. Okay, something they're asking, because they do like the way that smells, and
uh-huh.
If it's possible, you can come across something, you know, that has a cinnamon flavor that's suited for cats. I know that we do have some pet bakeries, and not all spices are suitable for animals, but they seem to be interested in that.
Well, tell them I'll look for that, because I don't know if cats can have cinnamon or not.
Right, that's what I'm telling them, too. But they're saying that just that there's something that she has all the time, and it's got cinnamon in it, and it seems appealing. But they're happy otherwise. They're being a little frivolous, and let me see what else. Okay, I don't know what... You know, how that could be resolved. Do you... One of them is kind of complaining about static electricity, you know, around the house. And I'm thinking that there's something that you might be able to buy as a kind of conditioner that goes on the fur or... Some kind of shampoo that reduces static on the hair is what I don't know if they know about this product or what. Because see, a lot of times animals, you know, they have a group soul mind and group collective consciousness, and in that group soul mind is every bit of information that pertains to their health and well-being, and they have access to that too. It's like a computer. And so I'm able to cross reference, and I'm being shown a particular type of a cat shampoo with a conditioner, you know, something that reduces static electricity.
Well, I could give them. You know, shoot, I don't ever wash them; they wash themselves.
One of the reasons why one of them grooms a lot is because of the. What kind of flooring do you have?
It's tile except for a couple rugs in the center of the living room, and I'm having those taken out while I'm gone.
They were talking about that too. Why are you taking them out?
Because they have a tendency to get dirty, and my little male cat vomits a lot. You know, God only knows what he's got in his stomach because he used to eat everything. But anyway, he'll eat too fast or something, and he starts to choke, and then he vomits on the carpet. And if I'm not there to get it, it makes a huge mess. And I just don't like carpets, so I'm having that taken out. And
they seem to think that's
the
problem. They seem to think that that's the problem, the rug. And And they did, and they said, ask her about the flooring because something's going to be going on with that and see whether or not what she's doing is going to correct the static electricity is what they said.
Yeah, it should. Interesting. Well, the other thing, too, is right now I've got the quantum vortex set up in the living room. And so I've got 8 lasers in there. And then I've got the projectors, too, so it's not really static electricity. It's really a scalar field.
It's a field. Well, see, you know, different animals, see, you know what you're right. You know what static electricity is. It's a charge that gets caught somewhere. And a polarized field can magnetize, you know, fine hair. And because everything has a charge associated with it already. And actually, animals are built to use their ability to sense static electricity to actually help them hunt. And so, and their whiskers are particularly sensitive. I'm being shown through the group SoulMind computer bank. So it's not a random interaction that they're sensitive to that magnetic field. Because if their hair gets magnetized, then that's the same as a charge being, a polarized charge being caught in a place.
Well, you know, the
how
other thing, too, I'm sorry,
how long have you had that thing in that room?
Oh, just since we got back. Well, only a couple
weeks. Yeah.
And it's going with us. Yeah, so it won't be there, because we're traveling with that. But the other thing, too, is, you know, I live about a block away from one of those giant towers, you know, at the fire station with all the microwave and all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm wondering if that's part of it, too.
Oh, okay. They called that sonic. And I said, well, it's not quite a sonic.
Well, it's a radio tower.
That doesn't really, there's certain frequencies that they just get accustomed to. I mean, they told me just now, we didn't hear... You know, we even sometimes hear a pitch coming from, you know, the wires that connect to our house, you know, supplying, you know, electricity.
I hear it too. Yeah, I hear that kind of stuff too.
Right. And they said that because there's so much of a, and then, you know, they're talking about this capacitor or this electrical component that's somewhere by your house, you know, where those things are, and it's just really magnified, but that's not an issue for them.
It sounds like we have a caller on. Do we have a caller on?
Yes, you do.
Here, who have I got?
This is Carla.
Hey, Carla, how are you?
Not bad. In fact, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Excellent. Absolutely excellent. Some questions for Brian?
I'd like to have a reading. Is that what he does?
Okay. Yes,
he does.
You got a question?
Just I'd like to know how my future is basically what's going to be happening with me.
Okay, hold on.
In case I do have 2 questions, I have an animal question and basically what's going to be going on with me with my future.
Okay. About your future, let me see here, how does this go? Okay, are you dating anybody right now?
No, I'm married.
Okay. Let me put it this way. Are you going to have a visit coming up by a male? It kind of looks like a male cousin or a husband or a friend of your brother. I mean, of your husband.
No.
Is it nothing like that that you know of that's going to occur?
No, not that I know of.
Okay, let me look a little deeper and see. Well, you're going to be visited by a male who, and I'm trying to see exactly what it is, why he's coming, and what he's really going to convey.
Okay.
Okay, this is kind of interesting. What seems to me is that this person is not, this young man is not getting along well with who he lives with. And it looks like this person, this guy, may be coming to hang out or visit to get away from a domestic situation. So what is she supposed to do or say? And then, okay, what you're supposed to do is kind of encourage your husband to not get involved. Just remember that.
Okay.
Because he's got a friend, a cousin, or a brother that's in a relationship, and it's not very stable, and, so just remember that.
Okay. That's interesting.
Why so?
We haven't seen his family in years.
That's probably why it stands out. Because usually when I look into someone's, you know, energy, I don't pick out always something that's very random.
Okay.
And so what this generally means is that this is not an everyday event. And what's also interesting is that the reason that this person is coming is not necessarily to visit. It's to get away.
Okay.
And so when I looked at the scenario, I was a little put off by the fact that this person wasn't coming necessarily to exchange pleasantries, but to just try to get away. And so this might be a problem because if you're not accustomed to receiving any kind of visitation or interaction with his family, you might be so inclined this time around to try to be involved. And so it might be a little bit of a challenge to stay out of it when you're thinking maybe this is an opportunity to create a tie. And
well,
so,
I'm kind of afraid he would hurt me.
I'm sorry?
I'm afraid that if this person would hurt me.
Hurt you?
Yes.
Hurt what kind of feelings are you? Tell me about your feelings.
The reason why we're not going by his family is because they're very abusive. And, in fact, his nephew threatened to rape me.
Okay, this might be the person.
And Dr. Valerie?
Yeah.
One of my distinctions this is weird. One of my distinctions the past couple days, when he did that, that's when I started getting on my way back.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
I mean,
yeah.
It was like,
yeah,
I just realized it's the last couple days.
Oh.
You know, because I need to do my last week's homework, and this is some of the things I've been thinking about, and I'm...
Right. And I'm getting the feeling that what you have to do is stick to your principles and don't relent. I don't care what the reason is. And that's why I said, are you dating someone? Because this person I saw was kind of, you know, interested in you in a way that wasn't really, I don't know. I try not to be judgmental.
Mm-hmm. But this sounds like this is something that really needs so she can
to be addressed.
Yeah. So this is not one of those things where you want to kind of beat around the bush, you know?
Right. And if you don't, he'll end up coming. That's probably what this psychic message is about.
And if I don't do what?
If you don't address it proactively, everything that you need to do to make sure things are settled and well understood.
How would I settle it?
By openly discussing with your husband, asking him what he feels about it, how he feels. And literally discussing how the two of you are going to handle the family and that situation. And just be in harmony. Don't let anything go uncommunicated or assumed as a mutual understanding between the two of you as to how you're going to technically interact, whether it be by phone, by mail, crossing paths. Have a situation, your scenario set, so that you guys are in complete harmony.
Okay. Because at first he was in denial. He's like, oh, something, they wouldn't do, they do other things, but they would never do that. He even said it in front of my husband, and, you know, and like always, he always wants to go in denial, and I always look like the bad guy.
Right, and that's why I said I felt like the husband might, you know, be the one to allow him to come. But you tell him not to get involved or do anything to allow him to come.
Well, see, where he stands is he doesn't ever want to see anybody in his family anymore. I mean, I don't know what happened,
this is why this is important, because he will have a situation that will catch you off guard.
Okay.
And then he's over there. He could almost be like running out of gas.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then he's there.
Yeah.
He's not going to be coming over for a regular reason.
Well, when you said that, my first thought is anybody from his family would come over to hurt him or me?
Say that again?
Anybody from his family, if they came over by us, they would come over to hurt him or me, especially me. And unless they don't know where we live.
And that might be a big part of it too, because the way things are, you know, it would take an uncommon situation that would catch you off guard or him off guard, and then, you know, he'd be saying before you know, but it was a family emergency, or this happened or that happened, and I needed to respond, and part of the thing I had to do in the process was reveal something that you were hiding from them all along.
Sounds like you need to do a bunch of protective stuff and just manifest it. Stay away.
Right. And just work on yourself. Because, see, through your own energy, you can ward this off metaphysically. Because it's such a tenuous situation, and it would only happen in a moment where it's opportunistic, and that will go with your energy. So as long as you, you know, intend to stay aligned and firm within, then an opportunity won't unfold that can allow that to happen.
Okay.
Well, you know, it's the whole thing of being a spiritual warrior. You're supposed to be prepared at all times and, you know, not to ignore signals that you're getting. And you've already gotten a signal from yourself that that this is a problem, and now you've just gotten a second confirmation, so be careful.
Yeah. Yeah. Dr. Bailey, I have a second question. It's an animal question.
Okay.
I had one of my dogs died May 8th, 96, and I thought she was poisoned. And my question to Brian is, was Brandy poisoned, or was it, did she just die of natural causes? Because she seemed like she had the symptoms. Both of my dogs ended up getting sick. But because Brandy was like 2 to 3 pounds, she died. So my concern is, because she had the symptoms of poisoning, so I'm, at first I just thought she died of natural causes, and then 2 weeks after I started calming down, you know, because she was my baby.
All right. Okay, let me look. I'm going to tell you, you know, I'm a pharmacist, so I get, you know, specific medical related information, and what it almost looks like to me, we call it septicemia, and this characteristically means there was some kind of infection or toxin that was introduced into the circulatory system and the body's defense mechanism in preventing it from traveling throughout and infecting all of the tissues is to shut down, almost like toxic shock syndrome. And what happens sometimes, there's different kinds of allergic reactions or reactions like that. Some of them happen quickly and some of them happen slowly. We call those slow anaphylactic responses. But still, the end point is like a slow anaphylaxis leading to shock or organ shutdown.
Okay. Is that what happened to her?
Yes, it seems like it was a toxic event, not necessarily associated. It could have been induced by an infectious agent as well, because infection and poison events can resemble each other because they sometimes elicit the immune system.
Okay.
What is your... did you see a doctor or a vet about that at all?
In the beginning, I didn't. She died, and
right.
You know, I took her to the vet.
Right. Hmm? I kind of felt like you didn't necessarily pursue.
I didn't realize what was going on until about a couple weeks ago. And I was really upset because she died, and, you know, she was my little girl, blah, blah, blah. And then after I started thinking, trying to put some pieces together, because my other dog, Chelsea, he got sick too, but he was a bigger dog, and they were both throwing up this green stuff. And I had problems with a neighbor in the back was dumping a bunch of water onto my property, and we were wondering if he was putting poison in there. To answer your question, I didn't really do anything until a couple weeks. Start thinking about this until a couple weeks later.
Right. That's a tough question because I'm a higher purpose psychic, which means I don't always tell people what they want to know. I block certain things out if it's not really in your best interest to know, other than it was meant to happen for other reasons that, you know, don't necessarily correspond to our human experience or the mundane perspective.
Okay.
But I would say, you know, to be careful, because there was something to, you know, the pounds per square inch. I know that's a body mass index value. And larger dogs can, you know, they have the disposition to displace toxic substances over smaller dogs.
Okay. I was, for a long time, I was always curious about that, and I thought since I was asking about the other, and I thought I would ask this too.
Right. Always have a lot of water around.
Okay. When I let my dogs, the dogs I have now, I don't let them. That's good. You know, I don't let them wander around.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't live there anymore. I move.
Right. Okay.
You know, I. And do you see anything else going on with me?
I do see that, this is kind of interesting. I don't know if this is something you're preparing or planning or even think you want, but I do see you going into business for yourself.
Yes.
What's that about?
I'm, in the process of learning how to trade Forex.
How to do what?
Trade Forex currency.
Okay.
And I basically would be self-employed.
Right. And so what I have to say to you about that is that's going to work. But try to stay as diversified, you know, as you can. You're a pretty smart person. You generally cover all your bases. But there is going to be a change, you know, regarding, you know, if I understand correctly, currency. And in some things, there are going to be some extreme changes in conversion. So just be very careful. Watch your decimal points.
Okay.
Because you can make a mistake and go, oh my God.
Okay.
Are you going to handle any kind of foreign traveler's checks at all?
No.
Okay. Now you're talking about currency exchange?
Yeah, instead of trading stock or options, I would be trading currency. And they call it foreign.
Okay. Yeah, you better look into it. American Express. I just see these certificates, and they almost look like a traveler's check to me.
Okay.
They almost look like American Express traveler's checks. Look into companies like American Express, because they're pretty diversified, and they're involved in a lot of stuff.
Okay.
And you may learn something about, you know, this whole process, being more aware of companies that are actually involved. Okay, and they also said insurance companies and their assets.
Okay.
Do you understand what I mean when I say that?
Kinda.
Yeah. Check the portfolios of insurance companies.
Okay.
If it's public.
Should be.
Right.
Well,
that's cool.
Yeah, so that should help, huh?
Yeah, it's going to work.
Cool.
Yeah, there you go. That takes part of that concern you had.
I'm sorry, what did you say, Dr. Bailey?
That takes care of part of that concern you had.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's good. Very good. Well,
yeah,
thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. And we are about time here.
Oh, I didn't mean to take up the whole time. I tried calling in a couple times, but you couldn't hear me.
Yeah, that's like a voice over internet protocol. I kept getting broken up.
I didn't want to dominate the whole thing.
Well, I'm glad that you got through for calling in. And Lynn, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. It's always fascinating, and have to have you on again, and you know, people love your free readings, so
right.
We'll have to have you back.
All right, it's important to get that information out there to people, you know, and the more open-minded you are, the better you're able to appreciate the information and apply it to your life, because I don't always come from the most obvious perspective. Sometimes I might talk about something that's not easy to discuss, but it's still important.
Exactly. And why don't you give the listeners the contact information so they can call you for private readings and things?
Yeah, feel free to connect with me by my website. It's
you have 2 minutes left on this call.
And you put hyphens between the words, making it all click. And email me, because that's the best way to get me. My phone's ringing off the hook all the time because I do interviews with the visionaries, and Valerie's one of them. And that's a process that takes so much time on the phone that it's better to get me through email.
Okay.
And my email is Brian at makingitallclick.com.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on. Listeners, also, you can contact me if you... got that information. I can find it again, and I will forward your information on to Brian. So, again, Brian, for being on, and
talk about
me on in about another month or so, if that's okay with you.
You can do that. Yeah, that'd be
fine. All righty, thank you so much, and listeners, thank you for tuning in. And as always, happy, be healthy, be who you really are. Night.